Hello, everybody. Welcome to MTG Place Podcast. I'm your host, Corey, and with me, like always, is James. How's it going, James?
Doing good over here. How are you guys doing?
And we also got Josh today. How are you doing, Josh?
Doing fantastic.
Then we got a special guest here from YouTube. We got David Royale. How's it going?
Hey, doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Were you at MagicCon Vegas at all?
No, I don't live in the USA, but
okay.
We'll have loved to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, to be fair, we weren't there either, even though we are also in the US. Oh, okay.
Vegas is kind of expensive.
Yeah, it's not cheap. I mean, it's cheap to get there, but then it's
true.
Then they take all your money.
Yep.
The actual events or the actual like
just everything.
Yeah, I mean the events are, you know, what, like $100 a piece probably about, and then or US dollars. I don't know what the conversion is for wherever you're And then like flights are a couple $100, and then hotels are usually cheaper, but because they want you to spend all your money gambling. But
they want you to gamble. They'll do anything to rope you into the gambling, man.
Well, Mike is like gamble sometimes, so
yeah, that's my thing. I'm like, Magic is gambling, right? You gotta open up.
I mean, honestly, it kind of is.
All right, so how long have you been playing Magic?
Quite a while, actually. I think I started back in 2010, probably, but then I was never really very competitive and stuff. Then I started getting into it in 2011. And then from there, I think I took a break in the middle, in between 2013, 2015. And then I started playing only online, mostly.
Okay.
Yep.
And you play mostly MTG, or do you play Arena as well?
I play both, actually.
Fair enough. Yeah, James, you can. Do you have something to say?
Oh, yeah. I was just saying, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Don't want to cut people off.
No, you're good.
Basically, I started on NTGO, like just playing Pauper. Made my collection, and then since Pauper, it's very inexpensive, built a lot of decks from there. And then from all of the profit that I've been having, then I started to dive into like Commander staples on MPO. Mm-hmm. And then I think at that time they were doing some crazy stuff with some of the NTG formats in online, like playing Tiny Leaders and its own version of 1v1 Commander. Then they later decided not to continue with. And when that happened, I decided to sell all of my cards except for my Piper cards. Took a couple of $1,000 off here and there from each year, and then took a second break, maybe then started to get back into Mike again with online. But then I found out that this new thing Arena was being released, and then I got pulled in Arena.
Well, yeah, it's really convenient to just be able to play on your phone too.
Yeah, that was what really did it for me.
I actually have a very good story about that, because when I started playing Arena, the mobile thing wasn't a thing anymore. So what I was, but I still wanted to play. So what I did was to install a remote app in my phone, and then remote into my computer.
Oh, yeah. God.
First mobile player.
Yeah,
that's the IT way to do it. I love it.
and surprisingly, it was very, very, very easy to set up. And then a couple of months later, it was like, oh well, we are going to release Arena for Android and then later for iOS. And I only have an iOS, so I had to wait a little bit more. Still playing in remote from my phone to the computer.
Hey, whatever works.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever works.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Magic card?
I don't know if you heard about it. It's common, black common called Tortured Existence. One mana, you get to trade cards between your hand and your graveyard. So basically you can, if you pair it with Dredge creatures, you essentially draw, you always have a creature in your hand every turn. So what you end up doing is you start using your graveyard as a toolbox. So whatever you mill, you can get back to your hand, play it, and then going from there, since the Dredge creature is the one that you put into the graveyard, then that creature gets back to your hand, you discard it, and just repeat the process every turn. It's very fun. I kind of like a lot the toolbox strategies, and that encourages a lot of that.
It's a very interesting card. First time I've heard someone say that card over some bomb rare or something.
No, it's very popular in Commander, apparently, or at least budget Commander. But it's just one mana to play and one mana to activate it, and you can recover basically your toolbox.
Yeah.
It sounds like something Corey would play. That's like his playstyle in a reanimator.
Yeah, like
he
I
loves
play
loves reanimating.
Like, why don't I play this card?
we're probably going to see you playing that in the future.
Buy like 10 copies.
Very cheap, I guess. I don't think they are up like more than a dollar or even cents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So for people who don't know the Pauper format, can you like explain that for somebody that doesn't know?
Yeah, well, I will try to explain it as easiest to understand, I guess, because basically Pauper, it's every, you get to build your deck with every common, basically printed at any time. So let's say, I don't know, like, if Shield Red at some point in the future gets printed at common, you can use all of those versions in Pauper, mostly because it will be a common and Ingolus backwards. And it's a 60 card format, follow like all of the regular constructal rules, only four copies except for the cards that the says otherwise. It has its own ban list that it actually reviewed every, I want to say every month or something, because Pauper, like other formats, has its own committee or group of people that actually take care of the format. So they are constantly reviewing that. And the best part of it is that it's like Legacy or Modern, because it's an eternal format. So meaning that it doesn't rotate. So like if you have like a lot of bulk, you can easily just take a lot of your commons and start building decks from those. Of course, right. There's a higher competitive level here and there, but if you've been playing for a lot of time, I'm pretty sure you have a lot of most of the staples. For the
right, yeah, and of course, like the different competitive levels. I mean, that's pretty true with any format, really.
Yeah.
But what's nice about Pauper is the fact that like most of the cards are gonna be pretty cheap. So even if you don't have something in particular, you can probably find it pretty easily. Like for the most part,
very cheap.
Yeah, which is really nice.
Yeah. Recently, I made a video about five decks that you can play in essence for free if you have like rental services like Card Hoarder or Mana Traders, because they give like five tickets to spend here and there just to loan cards. And you can get started on the format in at least online for free, just to start things through it. And then in paper, like some of the cheapest decks go from $10 to $20, so, and that's just one deck. Imagine then having like five decks for $100 that you can play with your friends. That's very easy to set up and pull people into the format.
It's like one standard deck,
yeah, or like one card in Legacy, heaven forbid, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I was doing like a research about like how much like a standard deck will cost versus a pauper deck back in the day. The standard deck is easily like back when Fable of the Mirror Breaker and Children were both legal at the same time. Grixis, who was the most expensive deck, was around $400.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Easily.
Yeah. And then imagine that rotates. Cause
and it rotates. Standard. Yeah. and then Kikijiki got banned, you know.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. No one saw that coming.
So. Yeah. And then if you compare that to Pauper, the most expensive deck in Pauper right now, it's $100.
Yep.
Yeah, that's like I just looked up that's the metagame quick, and it's like Demir is like maybe $100, like close
probably.
To, but like everything else is like way cheaper.
Yeah, like most of the cards you can get for like basically for free. I bet if you go to your local store and say, "Do you have any extras of your, I don't know, draft sets from the latest set?" Probably you get some for free.
The only card for the Demir control, it's that Snuff Out that's pretty expensive.
And it's very old. But even so, if like you can even go like monocolor and don't play Snuff Out. And mono blue Delver, which is basically the blackless version of the deck, it's about the same. It has the same theme, but without Snuff Out.
Yeah, it's got Tolarian Terror. Yeah. The main card.
Yeah, Tolarator and the recently downshifted serpent. Cryptic serpent.
Yeah.
Which is that's the other thing that like some cards are like from complemental sets got downshifted and then they become playable in Pauper. Cryptic Serpent is one of the most recent examples of that. But the one that has impact Pauper the most was Monastery's Whisper.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the
master sets are hype.
They have the most recent printing be a common, or can it ever have been a common?
All
of them. Like if you own like the first ever printed Monastery's Whisper, you just throw it in your deck and you can start playing it. Like you don't
What if it's a card that was printed as a common and for some reason it got upshifted to like uncommon or mythic or rare?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Play. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like Lotus Petal or something that was first printed as a common.
Now a lot of decks using like playing like 12 lands, Lotus Petal, doing a lot of stuff. Like, I don't know if you've seen like, Modern Chatterstorm deck, the one that creates a lot of squirrels with the storm. That Chatterstorm was printed at Common and for like 1 or 2 months it was wrecking Pauper left and right, and then it got banned
for good reason, I'm sure.
You can basically make like at least 20 2/2 squirrels with haste, and then gains in turn 2. Turn 1.
There's things like Lotus Petal, Dark Ritual.
There's
so much fast mana in Pauper.
Yeah, that's the thing that Pauper has access to all of the rituals right now. You have Rite of Flame, Dark Ritual, Call Ritual, Desperate Ritual, Seeding Sun.
You can like literally play Storm as long as you have a win con.
It is very viable.
And that is why
crazy.
Empty the Warrens, is that common?
It is, but it's banned. And that's what I was going to say, that almost every Storm card...
The payoffs are banned.
These are hard to play, yeah.
But even I don't know if you know about Monarch and Initiative, which are our commander mechanics.
They're just busted in general. Like, even in Vintage, they're...
1v1, they're busted. Yeah.
Like 1v1,
like being a monarch, like drawing extra cards. When is that
every
bad?
Turn.
You know,
yeah. But
that's
now
always good.
It's always good. And now, what I am trying to do now, because it's somewhat of a recent archetype that I'm bringing on, is that you get to play like a bunch of like early mana rocks and like say something like turn one Rite of Flame, Desperate Ritual, Searing Song into Name Sticker Goblin, play an Avenging Hunter who has like initiative, and then it's boom, a turn one initiative or turn one monarch. Oh. And if the opponent is playing like a slow deck, then basically can't win.
Yeah, I really feel like that's the flavor of Pauper. I wouldn't want them to like ban the fast mana. It's just that's something fun I like when I play Pauper. Yeah. I feel like it's very.
But you just want to have it turn into like Legacy or Vintage, where you win on turn one, like because that's kind of lame.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're like. They made a good job at doing balance for the most part. Most games don't end as quickly, but it's becoming a problem if like with some of the most recent downshifts. Monastery Sifiri has been a bit of a problem, but people are like trying to adapt by essentially adding like 8 copies of Hydroblast in the sideboard. Something.
Yep.
Like. And then we have like another card that was recently downshifted was All That Glitters. Mm-hmm. And then you got like this insane art affinity decks that had like turn 3 kills with Ornithopter who's 2020 or something like that. Yeah,
that's what I was looking at. It's like if I was going to build a deck right now, I'd probably be Affinity or the Mono Blue Delver.
Delver's a classic, man.
Delver's very good because you have access to all of the cantrips and card manipulation from the top of your library. You have like Preordain, Ponder, what's the other? Brainstorm.
Brainstorm, yeah.
Who I gotta say, Brainstorm will be a bit better, but we don't have access to fetch lands. So
That's
like, you're like Evolving Wilds or something, right?
That's tapped. Ash Barons would be like the one people play.
Okay.
The one that we are playing, who's surprisingly not landed, are the ones printed on Lord of the Rings.
Oh, those cyclers.
Oh, yeah. Oh right. Yeah. I forgot about those.
Because those cost only one mana.
Yeah. Those
that's
are
not
sweet.
Bad at all. That's actually really cheap.
Yep. Yeah, that's basically Pauper. But I gotta say that despite that, Pauper has the most archetypes I ever seen in other formats. It has like, I don't know, like 40 plus decks who are competitive.
Yeah, plus I feel like it's probably one of the easiest formats to like, if you're gonna custom brew something, have a chance at, you know, winning.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because, you know, it's going to get mopped away by, like, you know, some crazy, like, blue control deck or something like you would in, like, Modern or like, Legacy, something like that.
No, but you got to be careful because it can be pretty hostile environment if you don't know it. Like, you can get paired, like, easily against Burn, who can kill you, like, in turn 4. Or just play against Ponza. And never see your lands ever again if you're trying to build like a midrange deck. But it's like of a like kind of in like you have to respect the power level of Pauper, but at the same time you can easily brew something that beats the vast majority of the meta as well.
Yeah.
Have you seen any cards from Wilds of Eldraine yet in Pauper?
Actually, Wilds of Eldraine was one of the sets that had the least impact in the set because most of the cards were like just very niche. Like, for example, there's this deck that likes to sacrifice a lot of things. It's called Golgari Gardens because it uses Kalni Garden to put like the 0-1 plan and then you sacrifice it to the Deadly Dispute and some sort of that. And basically the deck puts a lot of artifacts and tokens into the battlefield. So the best you can do with that kind of archetype is just throw in the cyber the Ufi. I don't know how it's called. It's the 2/2 that you it has bargain and you get to excel an artifact.
Troublemaker.
And then there aren't many really other cards that have actually made a big impact.
Those enchantments that like do something, and then you could like pay 3 mana and sacrifice them. Those could also be like pretty good sacrifice outlet things too, if you could sack the enchantments.
I think Hopeful Vigil, the one that creates a 2/2 knight when it enters the battlefield. It pairs very well with some of the cards like Core Skyfisher, because Core Skyfisher somewhat built for Pauper, and for 2 mana you put it into play, the Hopeful Vigil, and then bounce it back to hand and then replay it again.
Right.
But at the same time, you also have cards like Barbed Butterfist, which was printed in Prediction or BLB1, which is basically the same effect, but you create like a 2/2 creature, but it got an equipment attached to it. So what you end up doing is just bouncing the equipment back to the hand, and then you replay it again. Mm-hmm. So most of these cards that are good in Wilds of Eldraine, I already had a similar bench already in past sets. But for the most part, like, we've had a very good run on these last couple sets. I think this year, a lot of sets were released or for both like Standard and Commander, or being supplemental sets for any other reason. And it got a lot of new cards for the format. Even the Infinity set gave some tools to it.
Nice.
Right. Yeah,
that blank goblin. It's always good to see some new things, yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Definitely a lot of good lands lately. The artifact tap lands, or just the tap lands in general that are dual colors.
Great. Oh, yeah, those artifact dual lands. Half of the people playing Pauper wants them banned. And half of them not. Because, like, I don't know if you recall Atog. It was a 2-mana red creature that whenever you sacrifice an artifact, it gets +2/+2.
Old school.
It was in the format since the very beginning. But it got banned last year just for the fact that because of these lands got printed.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that the lands are still there, and they're a problem because in the past, Pauper players rely on destroying artifacts and in order to slow down affinity decks. But now those are indestructible, so what do you do?
I'm sure exiling is a lot harder in Pauper too. I don't know how many of those are actually a thing.
The problem with that most of those are only on green and white.
Right, yeah.
So it leads you to a very narrow space in order to pack the exact answer that it is for those cards. But on top of that, they also created the cards that make like artifacts into creatures, like not creature artifacts, into artifact creatures. So we have Kenku Artificer, a 3-drop that creates, that puts 3 tokens on an artifact and then makes it a creature with flying. So all of a sudden, now you have like a 3/3 flying indestructible land bashing at you. How do you kill that?
It's pretty hard to deal with.
And then you put all that glitters into it, and then it's a 2020 artifact land indestructible that you can.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Well, move aside, Merit Lodge.
I don't know why all that glitters had to say artifact too when artifact and enchantments.
And enchantments, yeah.
It's just disgusting.
Oh.
And surprisingly, Boggles is not that even that good, despite having Ethereal Armor and Ancestral Mask, and now all that glitters.
Mm hmm. Well, that's the one pop deck I have. Boggles at my heart.
Oh. So do you have staples in Pauper too then, like you do other formats? Like what if I was gonna go out and I wanted to physically grab like a handful of cards that are used in like every deck or a majority of decks, what would those be?
Yeah. So let's take a guess on which do you think it's the best one drop on Pauper? Like the best common ever printed.
Oh god, the best common ever
printed. Red Elemental Blast.
That's probably one of the best cyber cards.
Lightning Bolt
is the most efficient removal, cheapest spell proper. Then followed by like probably Dark Ritual, Ephemerate. Those are some staples that you can get your hands on. Then depending on the colors you prefer to play, then it's like getting your hands on Preordain, Ponder, Brainstorm, Counterspell. Yeah. And then from there, it's just very specific to the deck you want to build. If you want to build like an aggressive deck, then probably at this point you should take into consideration getting your hands on Monastery Sweet Spirit. Because pretty much every red deck will use it if they are aggro.
Prowess is very good.
Prowess and Haste are very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Talarian Terror has been kind of a staple now days.
Yeah, Talarian Terror, it's insane because I've seen people playing like 3 Talarian Terrors on turn 3.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Because what they do is turn 1, Thought Scour, turn 2, Thought Scour, or Thought Scour, Mental Node, or some combination of that. And then can even cycle Lorien's Revealed to get the land they need.
Mm-hmm.
And then slam the 3 terrors on the battlefield with a bit of luck.
Yeah, that's that.
So yeah, Papa,
that's a sick opening, that's for sure.
It happens once in a blue moon, but it can happen.
I'd say like the sideboards are more harmonized, they're more similar. If you wanted to get like staples that could be played in any sort of deck, I would look at sideboards. I guess those could be played in every deck.
Yeah, probably get your hands on Blue Elemental Blast, Hydroblast, Pyroblast, Red Elemental Blast.
Mm-hmm.
And then
school classics.
Dust to Dust, which is the thing that exiles artifacts. And then it depends, on the colors you play.
Right.
But if you are in green, you can get your hands on the Glamers, which are very good at removing artifacts. And enchantments. There are some very narrow ones that are very good against some specific cards, like or strategies like Searing Heart, 2 mana destroy every aura in the battlefield, or River in Silence, which if you control a forest, they gain 3 life and you destroy every enchantment on the battlefield. Yeah, sorry.
No, my boggles.
Yeah, it's too much hate for your boggles. You gotta change
that. One cool thing that people do against boggles is because that they usually use just one creature to put their stuff on. Mm-hmm. Is that they use Curfew, 1 mana, blue card. Each player returns a creature to their owner's hand.
Yeah,
and there goes the.
Love that card. The flavor is just great. That's Curfew.
Curfew, yeah.
That's good. That's good.
So yeah, a lot of Pauper staples. Probably the most popular decks, like from like, which I think are like the decks of the. Like the people enjoy the most are probably Boros, because you got access to Korskaya Fisher, Glinthawk, and from there you can add like Traveling Inspector, which you can bounce back by playing a Korskaya Fisher, Experimental Synthesizer, which is a great card to have in your deck, Ichor Wellspring again, and then it goes from there. Also, Ephemerate is very good in cards like Spirited Companion, because you get to draw 3 cards for 3 mana. That's
pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's better than Harmonize. That's one of the best green cards for drawing cards. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Spirited Companion, Experimental Synthesizer, Kamigawa did some good cards for Popper.
Kamigawa was just good all around, man. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, a lot of that. That's one of the things of Popper that in other formats like Enter the Battlefield, draw a card may not seem like much, but in Popper that's premium. You got cards like Spirited Companion, the Overseer from New Capenna, which enters the battlefield right. draw a card. The
flying, yeah,
the flying. Even there's Pressing Captain on, I don't remember which set this was. I think it was one of them, the Innistrad ones. That 4 mana enters the battlefield, you draw a card, but if you attack, then it gets a discount. All of those that enter the battlefield draw a card are very good.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It basically replaces itself in your hand, which is pretty nice.
Card advantage is key, and that's why, like, for a long time, Monarch was considered to be banned because it was very hard to interact with. I don't know about any other formats, but I think Modern changed a lot with the introduction of Modern Horizons 2. And I bet every other Eternal format did it, and Popper was not the exception. But before that got introduced, Monarch was very hard to actually get rid of. Like, you often see these boards where Fairy players played Monarch, and then there was no way to actually get the Monarch back because they either counter your stuff or just kill your stuff. And they always have the little flyer to take the Monarch back if they lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, 1v1 Monarch wasn't the idea when they made Monarch. It was meant for multiplayer, and now we're kind of stuck with it.
Now we're dealing with the consequences in other formats.
Yep. Even Initiative. Initiative, it's insane.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
They had to ban... Initially, there were like a ton of commons that gave Initiative. There were like six or something around those lines. And they banned every card with Initiative that was not green or white. Because people, what they were doing is Dark Ritual, Cover Ritual, Under Seed Explorer, or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Now we got to ramp with our elves like normal people.
Yeah, like a normal deck.
And now what people do is turn one Arbor Elf, turn two Topaz Sprawl, kill your land with Thermocarst.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Fun times.
Fun times indeed.
At the end of the day, it's like trying to play. You don't know what you will face against it, and it's because Popper is very diverse. Of course, you try to prepare against the most popular decks, which are like Burn, Affinity, Terror.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a high chance that you end up facing some of the decks that want to beat those decks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's really nice, because that is definitely something I found playing other formats like Legacy, where like you go against the same like three or four decks every single time, or and then you risk like actually like having like a mirror match too, which is one of my least favorite things ever in Magic. So yeah, it's nice to have more diverse options of like what you might actually fight against, because yeah, it's more interesting, definitely. Than just playing against the same three decks, which gets real boring.
In Popper, you never know. You jump into a league and you have like, you know, that Burn is the most popular archetype, but there are leagues that you don't see Burn at all, and you just get paired against all of these other decks that are trying to beat Burn. Right. and from time to time, this random Bruce, like one land spy combo, which is really just two land spies or something like that.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Or I don't know, like Cycle Storm, which
basically... Cycle Storm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a lot, even elves. Like, I was surprised a few, I think it was like a month from now where I made a video about the most underplayed deck or something like that. And it was the person who had like the most trophies in Pauper. And it was not Burn, it was not Affinity, it was not Terror. It was a guy playing Elves.
Nice.
And it was because for some reason Elves is very well suited in the Pauper meta. But nobody was playing it except for this guy who made like 30 trophies in a season, something like that.
Damn. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, if Elves are able to, like, you know, have their way and do their thing, they will just trample over you. So I get it for sure.
Thing is that we have cards like pretty much are the legacy, all of the legacy staples. Like we have Priest of Titania, who adds like a mana for each elf. Mm-hmm. And we also have Quirion Ranger. So you go like turn one, Llanowar Elves, turn two, Quirion Ranger, Priest of Titania, turn three, lead the Stampede, refill your hand, play a bunch of elves, cast Distant Melody, draw like 20 cards, play more elves. And then,
yeah, that's just crazy. Yeah. You just get all gas, basically. You just, yeah. Like, unless they have a board wipe to stop you or something like that, you just go.
And that's the thing, that since the Pauper meta is so diverse, you usually just build your cyber in order to be like the top threats. So like decks like Elves can go under because the board wipes we have are like Fiery Cannonade, Arms of Hadr, which deals with creatures with toughness 2 or less. But nobody's playing those. Because the cybers are prepared to beat all of these other decks that are dominating the meta.
Right, yeah.
Like, there are a lot of strategies. Even walls combo. Well, like, which is basically play a bunch of walls that add mana, and then, believe it or not, the win condition needs this one mana blue wall that ventures from AFR. So you basically are like generate infinite mana with Feed from Real and the wall that adds
X-Bane Guardian.
X-Bane Guardian. You get infinite mana and then go through the dungeon infinite times.
Yep.
Yeah, that seems pretty good.
Yeah. A lot of power in Pauper, but a lot of archetypes as well.
Yeah. So you really got to choose like what you want to do. But hey, that's honestly kind of the fun of it. You can really do whatever you want.
Yeah, for sure. It is a very good format in that regard.
Yeah. And of course, as we had before, it is very cheap, which is also really good. Very cheap. And that way you can also really explore too, because you can buy multiple like decks, like worth of cards, and not be just really, you know, only able to do one because that's what you can afford. Whereas, here you can really go for it and go wild.
Even I've seen like there are subsets of the Pauper community that play their own format. Like for example, there's this Pauper Commander community. Pauper Commander is a format where you can choose any uncommon creature ever printed as your commander, and then build your deck as if it was a commander, with the exception that instead of rares and uncommons, you use only commons. All cards that were printed at a common rarity at some point. Which is a very cheap alternative if you want to dive into commander, and it's very competitive as well. So you have like, I don't know, Tatiova as your commander, and then build your Pauper commander deck around her. Or even Sada Hedron Grinder as your Pauper commander and build your deck around that card as well.
Yeah, that would work pretty well.
Yeah, because most of the payoffs for Sada are common already.
Yeah. That's a true commander deck.
That's a true commander deck.
Really, it is.
Yeah, and then what you can have is you build your battle box for $100. You have like 8 decks plus to bring to your community and play with more than two people, right? Because it's at the end of the day, it's just Commander.
Mm-hmm. Saw MagicCon Vegas actually had a couple stands open for Pauper Commander too. So
I know a couple people there. Yeah, yeah, it was pretty cool.
What are the? Is it just like League that's on MTGO, or do they have a lot other tournaments for Pauper too?
They have the leagues, the two-player clues, and the challenges. So like Standard Challenge, Legacy Challenge. They also have the Pauper Challenge,
okay,
who runs both days. And then they have like last chance qualifiers that you can use your qualifier points at the end of the season, something like that. That's so cool. It's pretty much supported like any other format, really.
Yeah, so it's a good way, especially to start on Magic Online then too, start playing Pauper and load up on rewards if you're good.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like, people actually play for a living just from Pauper. Like, mostly players from Latin America tend to do so. They play like every day, like if it was a job, and they, since they are good, they get what the minimum salary, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, that's awesome, man.
Well, thanks for informing all of us about Pauper, because that's one format we don't play a ton of.
I am probably the least versed in it out of all of us. I know Corey knows a little bit about it. I think Josh is the one who actually has some.
I've played a bit.
Yeah, you actually do it somewhat. So yeah, he's kind of our Pauper person. where can we, or everyone who's listening to the podcast, where can they find you?
So they can find me on Twitter at DavidRoyal14. I also have my own website where I do these weekly newsletters, where I basically talk about what happened last week on Pauper, something like that. I also have like cyborg guys and just some like let's dive into Pauper kind of articles, which is called PauperBruce.com.
Okay.
And then they can also find me mostly on Twitter and there. And then on YouTube at DavidRoyal14, where I try to upload weekly my Pauper gameplay.
Sweet.
Also, I am in Twitter. I post a lot of limited content as well, or at least my limited trophies. So if you're interested,
nice.
Limited,
yeah. That's the thing Corey plays. Corey's our limited player.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I won the, what's the one, the 32-man one or 64? The one that gives you a whole set of Eldraine. So I won that like a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's nice. And MTGO?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and MTGO.
That's nice. Actually,
yeah, kick some butt.
I entered an accident too, because I was like, oh, I thought it was just like a draft. And then I was like, oh, wait, this is a six-round super event. It started at 9 p.m. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to play, because then I just kept winning. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to go undefeated.
Well, okay, then.
I think the very first sealed event I played was in, what was this called? It was the one with Sarulf, the world leader, I don't remember. Call him.
Oh, yeah, yep.
I didn't know those events were that long. And then I qualified for, I think it was for New Capenna by playing like the seal event on my online. I went 8-1, something like that. And then
nice.
Played it and qualified to the top 8. But it was like 12 hours of playing or something like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And they make you wait out the whole rounds too, like they like you would if you were an actual store.
Yeah, that's like brutal. An actual like event, basically.
Because unless people, everyone finishes early, but nobody ever does. It's always a control matchup that's like, okay, you're gonna go to time.
And people do time out by playing those.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I believe it. Yeah, there's always one like all the time.
Yeah,
someone's got to draw or something. It's like, ugh.
You're standing around the table in just, real life.
Everyone's watching. Okay, yeah. Let's pick up the pace, guys.
We want to play
game two or round two.
And nobody's picking the car from the... Yeah. Yeah, Limited is fun as well.
Yeah, it's a good time.
All right, to all of our listeners, we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us, guys. See ya.
See ya.
We'll be right back.